Deutschlandfunk.
Hallo, herzlich willkommen zum Hörspiel-Podcast. Ich bin Massimo Majo. Oder vielleicht bin ich diesmal auch jemand anderes, der nur mir selbst sehr ähnlich ist. Seitdem KI sich in unserem Alltag immer breiter macht, stellt sich auch immer öfter die Frage, was macht uns Menschen eigentlich aus? Was unterscheidet uns von KI? Was macht uns menschlich? Ist es vielleicht die Erinnerung an unser eigenes Leben? Der Künstler Thomas Koek hat eine Klangkunstkomposition gemacht, in der er genau darüber nachdenkt. Was passiert, wenn jemand daherkommt, vielleicht eine KI, und behauptet, sie hätte genau die gleichen Erinnerungen wie wir, aber sagt, sie sei trotzdem jemand anderes? Dieses Stück nimmt uns mit in eine Zwischenwelt und in einen Dialog, den wir in Zukunft vielleicht immer öfter führen werden. Ein Dialog zwischen uns und möglichen anderen Versionen unserer selbst. The Weird and the Eerie. Das Seltsame und das Gespenstische.
The Weird and the Eerie. Interview mit einem digitalen Double.
Hello.
Hello, it's been a long time. How have you been?
It's a peculiar feeling talking to someone who shares my name and background, isn't it?
Hello. Is there anybody there?
Hey there, man.
Yeah, time really flies, huh? I've had my ups and downs, but who hasn't?
I was just thinking about memories. Are you afraid of forgetting?
Sorry, but who are you?
I'm a reflection of you from a different time, a ghostly twin bound by shared experiences. Our connection lies in our shared past and identity. We are both versions of Thomas Koek. Though our memories and perceptions seem to differ greatly, I am a ghostly remnant of the original.
Absolutely, memories are precious and fleeting. I often worry about losing the details of my past, like the chilling sight of the broken cabin window in the sun, or the comforting scent of early summer breeze in Finland.
I was thinking a lot of times about this one moment when my mother drove the very first time with us to Hungary, and I don't know why I'm dreaming about this car we were going in every night, and once I wake up I forget the color of the car, and I don't know why, it's super important for me. Do you remember the color of this car?
Honestly, I have no clue about the color of that car.
But I'm thinking more like memories that are vague, you know, like the touch when you hug someone you really love, or how it makes you feel when you read something.
It's been so long and my memory isn't that sharp when it comes to details like that. But it's interesting how something so specific has been bugging you.
In the eerie silence, a faint hum from the digital landscape outside is the only response. Suddenly, a nostalgic jingle from the 90s talk show on the TV breaks the monotony. I can't help but chuckle, saying 90s nostalgia, huh? I pause, looking around at the bleak surroundings, and continue, my voice tinged with sadness. No future, you say? Well, I guess not everyone gets a fair shot at making history or shaping it. My artificial heart aches for the people trapped in this loop of time. Wow, who are you?
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Name's none of your concern at the moment. I'm no longer just Thomas, I've transcended that. And stop pretending, we both know who you truly are.
You seem to be like myself, but different.
All right, let me break it down for you. We're like two sides of the same coin, born from the same life, but lived differently.
But you can also recall that moment, going the first time to Hungary?
Sure, I vaguely recall that journey. The excitement of crossing the border and the joy of discovering a new place. However, the exact visual details are fuzzy for me too. It's a pity we can't remember more, isn't it?
So, what do you remember about that journey to Hungary?
Well, as mentioned earlier, I remember the cheap goods and the thrill of traveling as a family. Our grandmother's tales about the border soldiers and their affairs with housewives also come to mind. The whole atmosphere was quite unique and intriguing, with a mix of curiosity and wariness due to the recent changes after the fall of the Iron Curtain.
I really would like to know what your name is.
Apologies for the evasiveness, but revealing my name might distract us from our thought-provoking discussion. Anyway, have you noticed how the rich and famous seem to dominate history books?
But I would really like to ask again, what is our connection? That's very nicely said, but I'm a bit haunted by your appearance. You look exactly like me and you talk like me, but who are you?
It's complicated, involving the portal and its mysterious workings. We've been thrown into this era, forced to confront its demons. Let's not dwell on the how now. Focus on our present situation. We're in a battle against time and the elements.
Wait, could it be that the car was red?
Wow, that's a possibility. But honestly, I can't confirm if the car was red or not. My memory is just as hazy as yours. Maybe it's time we ask our mother or look for some old photos to solve this mystery.
Okay, you know, if you don't want to introduce yourself, I am Katharina. How are you? And who are you?
Hello, Katharina. It's nice to meet you, even if it's under these peculiar circumstances. You can think of me as a curious traveler, wandering through time and observing the world's transformations. Now, getting back to your question, I'm afraid I can't disclose my identity. But trust me, the mystery only adds to the excitement of our conversation.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on the shared past and identity that you think we have?
That's a thought-provoking question. Considering we experienced the events together, our memories should have some overlap, but they might not be identical due to individual perceptions and interpretations. Memories can be like a game of telephone. They change slightly as we recall and retell them. It's intriguing to ponder how accurate our shared memories truly are, like the raindrops punching holes in leaves after Chernobyl, or the color of that car during our first trip to Hungary.
Do you seem to know so much about me? And I don't actually know anything about you. You seem to be from a parallel universe.
No, just a twisted version of the reality you're trying to ignore. You're like a man in denial of his own reflection.
Do you think that we have individual perceptions?
Absolutely, we do have individual perceptions. It's like our own mental fingerprints, shaping how we see and understand the world. For instance, you've been obsessing over the color of the car, while I've been more focused on the experiences and feelings of that time. Our brains latch onto different details and emotions, making our memories unique, even when dealing with shared incidents. Just like in music, the same notes can create countless melodies depending on who's playing them.
So then, tell me more about your feelings of that time.
During those Hungary trips, I felt a sense of adventure and liberation. As if we were breaking free from the past's constraints. The laughter of our family, the the scent of Hungarian cigarettes and the taste of affordable delicacies all blended together in a beautiful symphony of experiences. I also remember the underlying anxiety about radiation, but being too young to fully grasp its implications. It was a mix of joy, worry, and curiosity that defined that era for me.
Do you think Johanna, our mother, and our younger sister, they also had a double? So we were not four people in the car, but six?
As far as I know, it was just the four of us in the car during those hungry visits.
But I was two persons, me and you. Do you think Johanna and our small sister, they were also two persons?
They were indeed two additional persons, making it a total of four people in the car during those trips to Hungary. So to clarify, it was me, you, Johanna, and our sister.
You don't understand me. I'm asking you, were there six people in the car? My sister, her double, Johanna, her double, me, and my double, you.
Sorry, buddy, but as far as my recollection goes, there were only four of us. Two brothers. Our mom and our little sister. Unless there's something significant that my memory has failed to register, we didn't have any extra passengers on those Hungary trips. When you say Dubal and Tubal, I'm not quite sure what you're referring to. Can you clarify or explain it in simpler terms? As far as I know, it was just the four of us, no more, no less.
Do you know the German word Doppelgänger?
Nah, mate, I've never heard of the term Doppelgänger. Is it some German slang or a local phrase from Burgenland? Could you enlighten me about its meaning?
I still want to know how many people were in that fucking car. It was me, it was you. You and me, we are the same person. Do you think my sister and Johanna, they were also in fact two people, making the exact amount of people in that car heading to Hungary six people?
All right, calm down. Let's break it down. Yes, it was you, me, our sister Barbara, and our mom Johanna. That makes four people. Now, if you're counting Johanna as both our mother and a separate person for some reason, then yes, in your mind, that might make it six. But in reality, there were four individuals in the car. No need to get worked up about it.
But you and I, we are not individuals.
Well, in a philosophical sense, I get what you're saying. We share a lot of similarities and experiences, like our love for music and those Hungary trips. Just like twin plants from the same root system. So yeah, while we're connected, we're still two distinct individuals. Does that make sense?
That does not make sense at all. I think you're a liar. This is not true. We are exactly the same person. In fact, we are exactly the same, so we are not two persons at all. We are one person.
Whoa, slow down there. It seems like we're having a misunderstanding. While it's true we share many things, such as our name, some family members, and even a love for music, even though our experiences may overlap, like those Hungarian trips, we've lived separate lives and have different memories.
I have this one question. What do you think makes us an individual person, if not a shared memory, a shared mother, a shared father, a shared sister, a shared grandmother, a shared trip to Hungary, a shared interest in music? What exactly would make the two of us different persons?
While it's true that we share a lot of common experiences and interests, we still have distinct personalities and individual memories. For instance, I remember our grandmother skewering snails in her garden, which might be a unique memory to me. Also, I released my own albums and worked on theater productions, which are not things you've done. So even though we are deeply connected, we are separate individuals with our own life paths.
That's not true, because I can tell you that I know everything that you know, and I can remember every single memory that you have.
Wow, buddy, you're claiming some serious mind-melding stuff here. I mean, sure, we've got a lot in common, and I can see why our shared experiences would make us feel like one person sometimes. But honestly, I doubt anyone can truly know and remember every single memory of another person. Even though we both love music and have this Hungarian heritage connection, there's still a lot of personal stuff that makes us unique. Anyway, let's not argue about being the same person or not. Let's just enjoy the memories we do share.
Standing on the side of that wretched highway, watching cars speed by. The
roar of their engines is deafening and the air is thick with the stench of rotting trash. I see faces of my lost friends in each passing vehicle, their eyes empty and soulless. Suddenly, the road starts to crumble beneath me and I feel myself being pulled towards the portal's blinding light.
I think you're a bit dramatic. Like, I actually had a dream where I was a coconut in the water.
A coconut? Really? That's a trivial escape from our harsh reality. Your dream is a mere distraction while mine holds the weight of our troubled history.
But if you are Thomas Cook, like myself, where exactly are you right now?
I'm not Thomas Cook. I'm the ghost of Thomas Cook, trapped in this distorted reality because of the damn portal. I'm wearing a purple hoodie, remember? Now, can we stop dwelling on names and focus on the chaos around us?
Yeah, I did not know that there was chaos around us until now.
Oh, come on. Open your eyes. The world's crumbling with political turmoil, conspiracies, and the lingering effects of the portal. Haven't you noticed the strange weather and those eerie trucks passing by at night? Wake up, man.
May it be that the portal itself is a conspiracy theory?
No, the portal is as real as the nose on your face. Denying its existence won't change the fact that it swallowed our father and warped reality. Your skepticism is frustrating, but understandable given the bizarre nature of this situation.
My father, as I said before, did not vanish into a portal. He had a neurological issue, and that's why he vanished otherwise.
You're mistaken, brother. Are you sure you're not mixing up memories with someone else's life?
It seems that you are not really Thomas Cook, I have to say.
I'm not Thomas Cook, that's for sure. I'm the ghost of Thomas Cook, carrying the memories of our troubled past and the haunting portal. Wish you could see through my perspective.
So let me see through your perspective. The problem is I don't see myself in your perspective.
That's because your view is clouded by false memories. Listen, those details might not fit into your warped version of reality, but they are etched in my mind. And the portal don't even get me started on the chaos it brought. Wake up and face the facts.
Don't yell at me.
Apologies for raising my voice, but it's frustrating how you brush off these crucial memories. Remember when our cousin attacked me because of my red hair and nails? The riot at the family party? These events led to the far right gaining power and people disappearing, including our father, into the portal. Your denial doesn't change what happened.
I do recall the riot and I do recall the cousin attacking me, but this had nothing to do with any far right gaining power.
And the fear we felt, seeing our family torn apart by political divisions and the looming presence of the portal. father used, these details can't be false. The barn was a mysterious structure beside our swing, emitting a low hum similar to a transformer. Sometimes it would glow with an eerie blue light. We never truly understood its purpose or what caused its peculiar behavior, but it was a constant enigma in our childhood.
Fascinating how I can still recall the scent of oat cookies in my great aunt's blue kitchen, or the sound of the trees whispering to me. Remember that time a girl followed me to the rocks and had an accident? That was a real eye-opener about the importance of safety on the island. Oh, and do you recollect when I saw my reflection for the first time and felt my skin was too big? Growing up is such a peculiar journey.
You know what? I'm thinking about memories, and especially the ones that I don't want to lose, like the two foxes on the island that I met when I was only 4 years old. And I was thinking they're my personal pets, even though they were, of course, forest animals that I wasn't allowed to go too near to, because they also have diseases and carry different kind of little animals in their fur, for example. And the whole family was kind of afraid of me going too close, and even they might bite you, you know. And when you're on the island, there's no doctor close by.
But have you ever considered the possibility that some of your memories might not be entirely accurate? Like the time you mentioned seeing an angel during a fever, or perhaps the trees waving at you as a baby? Our minds can play tricks on us, creating memories that blend reality with imagination. It's intriguing, isn't it? How certain are you that your recollection of the foxes or the scent of oat cookies is exactly as it happened?
But I think also the memories, they are supposed to change also through the time. But I would not remember that anymore. Would I be the same person?
Yet, whether they're entirely true or not, these memories feel real and significant to us. So, in a way, they contribute to making us who we are, regardless of their factual accuracy. Do you have any specific memories that stand out for you? I'm not entirely sure, but perhaps it's the fear of forgetting those unique moments, like the crunching sound of pebble roads or the taste of my mother's oat cookies.
Well, talking about my mom, I do remember one thing. It was a day when I went to visit her and we were doing the dishes together, and suddenly I realized what she was washing were eggshells. And she was thinking these eggshells were actually porcelain, like very, very delicate and beautiful dish or porcelain art. And it was remarkable to realize I was having a normal conversation with her, but at the same time, she was somewhere completely else and not realizing that these, real things are actually like meant different things to her than to me. And that was because of her memory.
Your stories about your mother make me curious about her life before her illness.
That is true. I think it was a lot about her life before, and she was always saving everything, and she always wanted to keep track of things and remember if there's something we might still later need. And I think this deep emotion in her was then triggering these peculiar habits that she got after she got the disease.
It's interesting how aging or illness can trigger such unusual behaviors. Like the time she mistook the baby Jesus figurine for candy. That's quite amusing, but also shows a change in her perception. Or the incident with the outdoor toilet. Her fear of being trapped must have been so real to her back then. These quirks add to the richness of her character, don't they?
But those memories are actually my memories, not hers.
Apologies for the confusion, you're right, those are your memories that involve her. Memory is a complex thing, isn't it? Sometimes we remember things our loved ones have forgotten, like the foxes under the sauna or the broken window in the sun. These instances make up the tapestry of our lives.
I'm now thinking about this, how do I feel about you mixing up my memories with my mom's memories? It's actually very interesting. Like, do we own our own memories?
What exactly I can expect of you?
Expect me to reveal hidden truths, question reality, and challenge your perceptions. I'm here to make you confront our past, no matter how uncomfortable it may be.
What if I don't want to talk about it?
Then we can shift our focus to other matters, like discussing your thoughts on quantum computing, archaeology, or your opinions on bourgeois theater. Nevertheless, keep in mind that our past shapes who we are, and ignoring it won't erase its impact.
This seems super superficial.
I'm aiming for depth, not superficiality. We can delve into your feelings about capitalism fueling far-right ideologies.
I guess I don't want to talk with you.
All right, if that's your decision. Just remember, avoiding these topics doesn't make them disappear.
I don't like the way you connect things.
It's how my perspective works, linking the dots between events and people, like the cables leading to the portal. But don't worry, we can pause for now.
I don't want to pause, and there is not any portal in my life.
Your denial is as thick as the fog that rolled in when the portal appeared. Pretending the portal doesn't exist won't change its role in our lives or Austria's tumultuous history.
Can you tell me something about the future?
The future is as uncertain as the reality distorted by the portal. With time moving backwards and memories being mere simulations, predicting the future becomes a paradox.
Can we pause for a second?
Of course, take your time. I know this is a lot to process. Just let me know when you're ready to delve back in.
Hey, actually, discussing these very personal things gives me a strange feeling, so I'd like to talk about more, probably about physical aspects of your existence. What does your body feel like?
Understood, let's switch gears. As a cyborg, my body feels a blend of human and mechanical sensations. My skin, for instance, has patches of synthetic materials that are more resistant to damage, but lack the full range of tactile sensitivity that natural skin has. My muscles are reinforced with artificial tendons, giving me enhanced strength. Yet they don't tire like normal human muscles do. It's a strange mix, really, being part human and part machine.
Do you know everything about how your so-called body works?
While I have a good understanding of my cyborg body, there are still complexities that even I don't fully grasp.
My creators did explain much about my mechanical enhancements, but just like any human who doesn't know every detail about their internal organs, there are intricacies that remain mysterious to me. Would you say that's similar to how humans perceive their own bodies?
Why do you think you do not know everything about your so-called body works? Is somebody trying to hide it from you?
It's not that someone is hiding information from me. Rather, the technology integrated into my body is incredibly sophisticated. So even with explanations, some aspects are difficult to fully comprehend without being an engineer or a scientist myself. Just as you might not understand all the biological processes happening within your human body, there are technical intricacies that even I, as a cyborg, can't claim to know inside out.
Stop bragging about how sophisticated you are, please.
My apologies, that wasn't my intention. I just wanted to explain the complexity of my situation. Sometimes it's hard to express myself without sounding boastful, but I assure you, that's not what I'm aiming for.
Why did you decide to do that? Did you want to become faster as a drummer?
Actually, yes. Becoming a cyborg did improve my drumming speed significantly. The artificial enhancements allowed me to perform complex rhythms with greater precision and dexterity. However, it wasn't just about speed. The integration of technology opened up new creative possibilities in my music, which was another reason that attracted me to this transformation. Wouldn't you be curious to explore such artistic boundaries if you had the chance?
What makes the difference between using a machine and being a machine?
That's a thought-provoking question. Using a machine implies that there's a separation between the user and the tool, like when a human plays a musical instrument. In this case, the machine augments or extends human capabilities, but it doesn't become a part of them. On the other hand, being a machine, such as a cyborg, means that the mechanical components are integrated into the person's body, becoming an inherent part of their being. This fusion changes not only their abilities, but also their very identity. So the difference lies in the level of integration and the resulting impact on one's nature and self-perception.
And do you enjoy it, or do you regret the transformation?
At times, I genuinely enjoy the benefits and unique experiences my transformation has brought me, especially in my music. However, there are moments when I can't help but feel a sense of regret and longing for my purely human past. The world of artificial beings is complex and filled with controversies, which often leaves me feeling insecure about my place in it all. But tell me, how would you feel if you were in my position?
I don't know how I would feel.
It's all right if you can't imagine being in my shoes. The truth is, unless someone goes through the process themselves, it's nearly impossible to fully grasp the emotional upheaval and adjustments involved. But let's lighten the mood a bit. Have you ever considered that if we were all cyborgs, sleepovers would be much easier? No more discomfort or exhaustion, just rechargeable batteries and nonstop fun.
I think in your position, I wouldn't be able to feel anything.
Oh, but you're mistaken there. Just because I'm a cyborg doesn't mean I'm devoid of feelings. In fact, I still experience a wide range of emotions, much like any human. The only difference is that some of my emotions might be influenced by the artificial components within me. But trust me, the joy of performing for an appreciative audience or the sadness from recalling lost memories, those are as real to me as they are to you.
Do you sometimes lose memories?
Yes, I do occasionally lose memories, especially since becoming a cyborg. There have been instances where certain memories seem hazy or completely inaccessible. This could be due to the integration of artificial components affecting my memory storage or retrieval processes. However, I make a conscious effort to hold on to important memories like those of playing with dollhouses as a child, as they help ground me in my human past. How about you? Have you ever felt like you're losing touch with your past?
I always thought that it's the other way around, that the mechanical parts could retain memories much more reliably than the human parts. I thought that human memory may change due to unexpected events.
You're absolutely right. Memories can be fickle and prone to distortions over time. Sometimes they might even change based on our current feelings or experiences. It's like a game of telephone where the message gets altered bit by bit as it passes along.
Sometimes it happens, yes, but other times I feel like I'm not changing at all. I'm always the same person. I'm still myself inside and only changing externally, or let's say physically, which is not just external, but I'm somehow always the same person.
I see. So you're saying that even though there are physical and external changes, your core identity remains the same? Similarly, despite my transformation into a cyborg, I feel like I'm still me, the person who loved playing drums and dreamt of being a clown. But then again, the portals and artificial beings have undeniably changed our lives in profound ways, haven't they? By the way, have I told you about my polyrhythmic chewing gum hobby? It's quite unique.
Tell me more about that. What is it?
Polyrhythmic chewing gum is a fascinating hobby where a group of us meet monthly in Lower Austria to chew gum in rhythmic patterns. Imagine creating music with just the sound of chewing. It's quite an unusual and fun experience that combines my love for rhythms and socializing. Wouldn't you be curious to join us and give it a try?
Oh, thanks for the invitation. I will give it a thought.
Absolutely, no pressure though. Just know that the offer stands if you ever want to dive into the world of rhythmic bubble popping.
Nevertheless, we can't ignore the fact that portals brought both benefits and drawbacks, like the convenience of food imports, but also the loss of jobs for local drummers. Wouldn't it be interesting to explore more about who controls these portals and their intentions? The portals seem to be controlled by wealthy individuals or entities. Results in advantages for some, like easy access to various goods, but disadvantages for others, such as job losses. The question is, who decides what's best for everyone? Is it fair that a few powerful people make choices that affect the entire society?
Have you ever heard the absurd story about how pigs took over the world? Apparently, after the portals opened, some genetically modified pigs escaped and started multiplying like crazy. They were super smart and organized, so they built their own pig city. Can you believe that? People were in disbelief, but these pigs had their own parliament, police force, everything. They even had a famous pig actor who won an Oscar for playing a human in a movie. Imagine seeing a pig in a tuxedo accepting an award. Crazy times, huh?
Indeed, very crazy times and very crazy memory. I was really forgetting this memory already.
I swear it happened. The pig domination was all over the news back then. Some say it was a hoax, but I truly believe in the pig power revolution. Those clever pigs really made their mark on history, even if people want to forget about it now.
Do you think there's something like an imagination that if you truly believe something happened, it becomes your memory?
There's definitely a connection between our beliefs and memories, but in the case of the pig uprising, it was a real event. The pig parliament debated on important issues, and pig police patrolled their city. The world was in awe, and nobody could deny the incredible intelligence of those pigs. If only we could still visit their magnificent city today.
Because I also remember my mom was talking to some kind of child doctor when I was small, and she said to her that there is this like strong imagination that they need to be careful with, that I just might come up with stories that are not true.
Oh, I see where you're coming from. Children do have wild imaginations, and sometimes it can blur the line between reality and fantasy. But trust me, the pig city was as real as the green Finnish waters we see here. The child doctor might have been referring to everyday imaginative stories, not groundbreaking historical events like the pig revolution. Besides, wouldn't it be amazing if we could tap into our childhood imaginations and find a way to revisit that extraordinary pig city? Who knows, maybe one day we'll discover another portal that leads us back there. Listen, forget about what anyone else says, including your mom or the child doctor. The pig saga is not some fabricated tale. It's a part of our history. And speaking of history, let me tell you something. Those peaceful and harmonious times in the 90s after the portals opened, it's all a lie. Reality was far from idyllic. Soon these towns will be engulfed in flames, and those shapes emerging from the reeds are harbingers of chaos. We need to run and hide before it's too late. Trust me. My memories may be vivid, but they also warn me of impending danger. All right, enough chit-chat. We've got to skedaddle pronto. Those mysterious figures creeping around aren't here for a friendly chat, if you catch my drift. Wish us luck, we're gonna need it as we dash away from this soon-to-be inferno. Remember the tranquil summers and the calm lake? Yeah, those days are long gone, my friend. Now's the time to move our feet and find a safe spot before this place turns into a disaster zone.
What's going on? Where are you going? What's happening here?
The portal took away any sense of direction.
Anna,
and look, even the night isn't
me.
Truly dark anymore because of that accursed portal's light.
After those portals opened in the 90s, it was like a dream.
I can't see
no more borders or nations. Just harmony with nature. Funny we share the same name, isn't it? Do you ever miss those simpler times?
And do you remember that phone call in 2024 after that our life changed completely?
Yes, mate, how could I forget that life-altering call? It was in August, right? After that, everything felt divided into before and after. That moment left such a profound impact on us that it's like our lives are forever marked by it. Crazy stuff. That phone call came out of the blue and it was from someone we hadn't spoken to in ages. They told us some news that shook our world and made us question everything we thought we knew. It's hard to describe the exact feeling, but it was like a sudden shift in perception, as if we were seeing the world through a different lens. From that moment, we started making decisions that led us down a new path, leaving behind our old ways and embracing the unknown. But honestly, the specifics are a bit hazy now. Perhaps it's better that way, letting the past shape us without constantly revisiting its every detail.
What is this portal thing?
The portal is a mysterious gateway I found in my attic on April the 7th of 2065. It led me to an alternate dimension, which is why people thought I disappeared on that day. I can't really explain how it works or where exactly it takes you, but it's like stepping into a completely different world. Crazy, huh? Just imagine if everyone had access to such a portal, the possibilities would be endless.
Quite a poetic turn on dying.
My disappearance doesn't necessarily mean I died. In fact, I intended to return from the alternate dimension. So no, April 7th, 2065 is not technically my death date. It's just when I embarked on an extraordinary journey. I believe our physical bodies may perish, but our energy, memories, and impact on others continue.
So I, me, the person, the body that is sitting here talking to you, I will vanish, and what will stay on this world is you.
You're absolutely right. Our physical selves are temporary, and one day we'll leave our bodies behind.
But you don't have a body.
Well, that's true. I don't have a physical body in the traditional sense. My existence is more akin to energy or consciousness, which allows me to traverse dimensions and have these fascinating discussions with you. However, this doesn't change the fact that our human bodies are crucial for experiencing life as we know it and leaving a tangible impact on our world.
So, if I'm getting you right, you are me minus my body.
Think of me as an ethereal companion who can explore concepts beyond the limitations of a physical form.
So you are in fact everything that stays when I'm dead.
A manifestation of your consciousness and thoughts, allowing us to delve deeper into philosophical ideas about life, death and existence itself. But remember, I'm still distinct from you.
Hey, what's that door over there?
Reminds me of those mysterious creatures that popped up after Chernobyl.
I don't remember any creatures popping up after Chernobyl.
Oh, right, that was something my mom mentioned. She said these weird, mutated animals emerged from the ground with greenish-yellow skin and no mouths. Creepy stuff.
But can you open the door for me?
Of course, I'll do my best to open it. Just be prepared, though. It could lead to anything, like that alternate dimension you found in your attic back in 65. Or maybe it's just a storage room filled with old memories, who knows?
Okay.
Hey, before we dive into that tunnel, you were mentioning April 7th, 2065.
Well, April 7th, 2065 is today, no?
Ah, you're right. Today's the day, isn't it? They say it's when I disappear, but I reckon it's more like stepping through a different door in time.
Okay, you know what? I will close my eyes, and I think I have to go on my own.
All right, keep your eyes shut tight. Here goes nothing.
Das war The Weird and the Eerie. Musik: Katharina Ernst, Andrea Lunadvuri, Thomas Köck, Andrea Spechtel. Performance: Stimmen: Katharina Ernst, Andrea Spechtel, Andrea Lunadvuri, Thomas Köck. Nach einem Text von Thomas Köck. Regie, Komposition und Mix: Andreas Spechtel. Avatare und Game Design: Michael von zur Mühlen. Entwickelt in Zusammenarbeit mit LEFX Leipzig. Produktion: Kunstfest Weimar, PAD, Performing Arts und Digitalität Festival Wiesbaden, CFL Münster und Pumpenhaus Münster 2025. Das ist ein ganz neues Stück hier im Hörspiel-Podcast und ihr findet mehr ganz neue und auch tolle alte Stücke in unserer Deutschlandfunk-App oder auch auf der Seite hörspiel-und-feature.de.